This podcast is suitable for students between the ages of 16 to 25. If you're interested in self-improvement, productivity, study tips, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to the Sweet and Sour Podcast.
My name is Abdumumuni Hikmat. I'm a student just like you. I'm passionate about personal development and productivity. So, if this is your first time listening to this amazing voice, don't make it your last. If not, sweetie, you know how we roll now.
Let me hear you say H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T.
Hi, sweeties. Welcome back to another interesting, amazing, fun-filled episode on the Med School Reality Series. Today, we are with our 500-level guest. His name is God's Gift, Gigi for short. Gigi is the current president of UAMSA. UAMSA stands for University of Abuja Medical Students Association. This association is also called the Capital, they kind of like call themselves the Capital Medics. So Gigi is also the co-founder of Let's Talk Health Initiative, which is a mental health related NGO, and he's going to really shed more light on that. Also, today is Gigi's birthday, so happy birthday, Gigi. Thank you so much, Gigi. Please introduce yourself to my audience, to my sweeties.
So much for having me on your podcast today. So, hi, guys. As you said, my name is Chimikin God's Gift. Popularly known as Gigi Medical School out there. I'm a 50 medical student. I'm a women's health advocate, and I'm also passionate about public health.
Okay.
For Let's Talk Health, it's an NGO we started on the 14th of May 2020. We launched the NGO.
Okay.
Our major focus is on youth mental health.
Sure.
We try to see to it that the areas, especially in Africa, where mental health advocacy, mental health education, mental health awareness, that's something that everybody is taking cognizance of.
Yeah.
So we try to make sure we put content, we try to make sure we put improve or increase conversations regarding mental health and mental health awareness for young people, especially the youth in our community and our environment. So that's pretty much what Let's Talk Health is about. We currently are, say, 3 years old.
Yeah, and, it's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, Nigeria is hard for the sick. A lot of things seems easy, but still, I feel like there are still things to be grateful for, irrespective of whatever is going on in the country, whatever is going on in your family, whatever is going on with your friends. So just tell us some things that you're grateful for today.
Well, today's my birthday.
Yeah.
First of all, I'm grateful for being alive to see another year.
Okay.
It hasn't been easy, so I'm grateful for that. Well, like you mentioned, irrespective of what's going on in the country, I'm grateful for friendship.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for the ability to have a family, a lot of people that you can call your own. I'm also grateful for the resilience of Nigerians, especially in the last elections, irrespective of the results.
Yeah.
It goes to show how well Nigerian youths are beginning to take charge in the situation. It goes to show how well we are not willing to just let things slide. Because if you notice, I was at the polling unit, I voted, and my polling unit, majority of the folks there were youths. So it goes to show that Nigerians are not...
They're waking up.
You're waking up seriously, and that's something I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
And another thing I'm grateful for as well about the country is our outside, like, not in Nigeria, though, people in diaspora, Nigerians in diaspora actually making waves, and we are trying to put the Nigerian name out there in a very positive light. And seeing in the entertainment sector, Nigerians are top-notch, even in medical medicine. Find out the best doctors in the US and UK and Nigerians. So these are things I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
All in all, I'm actually very glad that I'm Nigerian.
Yeah.
They respect it.
Irrespective, yeah. So medical school is like something, I feel like we're seeing a lot of people, you know, for me, I feel like when you go through stages when you are young, you'd be like, okay, I want to be like a neurosurgeon. You start to
like Ben Castle.
Yeah. And then you think so. But then along the line, like, you just be like, well, more anything, you know, anything they give me.
Exactly.
So I'm not connected. So
exactly.
I don't know, how was it like for you before you got admission to study medicine and surgery in Nigeria? Did you have to wait for a very long time before you got admission?
I think I stayed for a year.
Okay.
Because I was very, very at the maritime engineers studying medicine.
Okay.
You know, coming out from the secondary school, a red jam, I think I was got about 245, a first jam, and I applied UNN with a cutoff for about 295.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the point that almost got me discouraged about medicine was when I went for the post GMA for UNN. Then I saw the list there about 12,000 students that was studying medicine, and the quota was 450 then.
What?
Exactly. So the way it was that for medicine alone, there's a full week for exams for medical candidates in post-GME. And by the time you check the list, the first 2,000 got jammed, the jam scores were like 280 and above. And you know that for you to have 245, you're obviously not going to get. And I almost got discouraged, but I felt like I could still do it. And then I had to now find out more things about Nigerian schools, and then I eventually found out that okay, I could actually study medicine in Abuja. I grew up in Abuja. It was easier for me, and this time I went to the jump, like my second jump. It's a better experience and more preparations. I didn't have to juggle both WAEC, MECO, and jump at the same time. So it was easier for me. So I went to the second jump. I think I got 279.
Oh,
because I got the first listen.
Yes, Martin. Like, that's really amazing, because the shocker is really out there. Even we said I've been paid. So, if you're a medicine, if you weren't studying medicine, what if they, like, you tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, you know, and then you were so tired? Or if you were studying medicine at all, what would you have been studying? Like, do you have passion for other things?
Yes.
Or, and then, you know, why medicine, Seth? Because I feel like a lot of people say, oh, they want to see lights. For me, I don't know if that's not my hobbies, you know.
I'll answer your first question first.
Yeah.
If not for medicine, I think I would have become a movie star.
Are you serious? Wow.
They actually something like I'm really passionate. Okay. Passionate, very passionate about acting.
Cool.
So I'd have gone into acting, try to be an actor. But another thing I love, I don't really have much talent for it. Being an artist, I love art. I love art, and that's so out of maybe even if I'm not an artist, I would have been somebody that is involved in that system. So I would have loved to be a movie star, being a love art. And I kind of like sometimes, even in this medical school, I feel like I still have a shot at acting. So who knows, maybe after medical school.
I think I was watching one thing on Tarek. I don't know, I was really shocked to see this actor. Look, she's actually. Like, sure, that's even quite good. So, like, I thought my life like that, I've been watching her. I've never really, like, pictured her to have actually been a medical doctor. So, I think they were doing a show, and then they were asking questions like, oh, yeah, you're the doctor here, so you can't. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, I think it's something you can still do after
medical
school. Yeah. So, now you're a fan of the demo. The journey has been increased, it has been ups and downs. And I like your mental health advocate.
Yeah.
So how are you able to balance your mental health with studying medicine? What are the things that you do to help you, you know, keep your mental health in check?
Okay. First of all, I try to give myself this perspective of having a state of mind that I'm going to be a doctor one day.
Okay.
Irrespective of how long it takes, it is like almost certain I'm going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
So now I'm not under pressure of being a doctor. I just know that I'm going to be a doctor. But now what I try to help me balance myself is what kind of doctor do I want to be?
Yeah.
And another thing I do is that the kind of doctor I want to be also tarnishes my personality. So I want to be that doctor that is very much well rounded in both medical and extra curricular things. So those extra curricular things like engaging in leadership, engaging in politics, student politics, also engaging in things like social media awareness, do that a lot too. And then I try to also have time to engage with my friends, play games when necessary, watch football when necessary, chat, reach out to loved ones when necessary. It's also very important.
So football, the next one goes to this football thing. What club are you? Don't tell me about
it. Not for me.
Okay. I have somebody for that. I was about to share with you guys life with him. Why are you not?
I'll join in the show with my ones and you'll see
like. I don't think I have a good couple of you. I guess, I'd like to ask, like, you're speaking of the, like, you know, football and like, everything. So I don't know. I feel like there's this myth, or maybe it's real, that medical students don't have social life. Others, it's a myth, Bob.
Yeah, I think
it's a myth. So, what do you do for fun?
once in a while, I also try to, like I told you, I have a passion for acting.
Okay.
So I actually put out a little bit, I do rehearsals on my own. I do more not on my own. And then also sometimes I even put out my content.
Do you not go for any audition?
I've not actively gone, but I've sent out an entry for online. Yeah. But I'm not actually going out there. And before now, I was involved with a modeling agency, but because of the nature of the schedule and training, the curriculum, I had to stay. So I tried to put myself out in those several sectors to actually be current and social. So I don't really think, I think it's a myth to use the medical students that have social. Like, it just depends on if they want to be active about it or not. But if anyone wants to, like, if you want to actually engage, you can actually do very well.
I'm basically about ecosystems. You written so many other speak. I'm sure you lost count.
Yeah, I don't even.
Okay, so what ecos give you the most strength?
Your anatomy.
So why did it give you that much strength?
Well, it was, I felt like it was complex. And the way the lecturer, it's called the respect to Professor Okunu. He turned to the course.
Yeah.
He made it seem like it's something that is so complex. I really found it. It was very close to the first professional exams. So it was really challenging for me. It was like the most challenging exam I've actually in this year. Yeah, it was that challenge.
But now, finally, what we're talking about, like, research your knowledge and how it's, like, really, really important for you to, like, have this research. It's like when you want to write, like, your first MBA, we'll just, like, tell, like, just touch on residual knowledge.
I think the importance of residual knowledge cannot be overemphasized. Even till now, even in our medicine and surgery exams, there are sometimes they ask questions from things with 19 and 20 that I could really recall my last second M2S2 exam.
Yeah.
One of our questions in medicine was right on gout, pathogenesis and pathophysiology of gout. And I learned that sometime around 20, I think, in biochemistry. And that was a question. If I couldn't recall anything from that biochemistry class, I wouldn't have been able to answer the question. So that's just important. Even down to questions like diabetes mellitus and the rest.
Okay.
Yes, the real part of physiology of pathogenesis, respiratory and teacher in medicine, but you still have to refer back to medical biochemistry to have a good knowledge of it. So it cannot be oversized. Even things you learn, like for instance now, some postings are long, like part of the form, they are long. So you could have a topic maybe in the second week of a 16-week posting, and then that's the topic that will come out in your final MBA. I don't really remember to read that and that, to revise it during your MBA, but if you have a very good residual knowledge, you'll be able to answer questions. And the importance of residual knowledge is for mentorship. Yeah. It's very important to have, if you really want to be a good medical mentor, you have to have residual knowledge because your genius will come with you. I remember like a week or two ago, somebody from 200 level reached out to me, like, it's finding difficult to study and prepare for exams, anatomy. It was because I could still remember some of the questions that came up and how to answer them back into it. I was able to give them a very good reply and answer. And of course, this is senior, it would be like for you.
Yeah, because oh my God, like, that's like really important. Because I remember one time when I was in secondary school, and then I wasn't a kid, but I was just like this senior, like, shouldn't miss me. Same way, she just bringing like this particular math question to me, I'm like, God, I'm big. I can't afford to fail this thing because it was just that my thing. My friend said I was so glad that I was able to answer that particular question. Okay, so so far, do you regret this trade?
No. At all, I don't regret it one bit.
So it's been amazing. You would redeem it even if you have to.
Yes, I will.
So you wouldn't just act to the moment, even if you have to.
No, I don't think I'll choose acting.
Okay, then that's really nice. Are you going to jump out with Steve eventually after you do your medical school and you do your house job? So what's your plan?
So fundamentally, I think I want to get extra exposure.
Okay.
I feel like the level of medicine in Nigeria or in Africa is below optimal standard. So for any reason, I would like to actually get more exposure. So yes, I would leave the country. But then again, if I'm going to stay there forever, that's why I don't know yet, but I feel like I need to leave to get a good level of understanding of what medicine is about.
Yeah. Okay. So to conclude this episode, I would just like you to give an advice. What advice to your junior colleague right now and what advice to people that are like really out there struggling to get admission to medicine? You know, they just stay hanging on, hoping.
Okay, for those people out there, the juniors, 100 level, people, pre-med students.
400 level.
400 level, yeah. That's true. I think, first of all, if you really want to be a doctor, have that at the back of your mind that you're going to be a doctor. Okay. It's very important to have that belief.
Yeah.
It helps you a lot when you're writing the MBs, like when you're feeling so many courses. Yeah. Another thing you should also know is that medicine is not the only thing. That there is to like, there are much more things to life. And also, any God-given ability, any God-given skill or talent you have, please chase it.
Yeah.
Chase it to the max as much as you can. But also be able to find balance. It's important you find balance irrespective. But don't neglect, don't give up any of your dreams because you want to be a doctor. Okay. Because you eventually become that doctor. But then what will make you stand out is those extra abilities that
you have.
They don't really know what exactly would be that thing that will stand out for you eventually. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to graduate as doctors. There are going to be about 5,000-10,000 doctors in Nigeria that are your mates. But all of them would have the extra talent that you have. Yeah. None of them will maximize the extra talent that you did maximize. So just chase your dream. But for imbalance, I think you'll do great.
Yeah, so for someone like this, trying to get to medicine, you know, hasn't got the admission yet, I want to get admission. And yeah, they've been trying all them. But she just shaking to keep her try. She didn't give up, honestly.
But it actually depends. I have friends that have tried getting admission in USA for four or five years.
Mm-hmm.
And they came in and they dropped out. Mm-hmm. I also have friends that tried to get MS for 5 years. They came in and they were the best. So it all depends on you. It all depends on the individual. You set your mind to do it. You believe that you can be a doctor or everything. Why not go ahead? But then, shouldn't be trying to have the same thing over and over again. If this, like I did, you and it wasn't working out for me, I came to you as well, which I could say.
Yeah, because I think that your school actually works.
Yeah, so you could change school. You could even go through direct entry.
Yeah.
Either written. You could go through different rooms, but just explore all the available options. Yeah.
That you don't be stagnant.
Exactly. Don't be doing the same thing over and over again. It's frustrating.
Ooh.
And especially, we're just going to waste your time. And another thing you should also do while you're waiting to get medicine, don't be idle.
Yeah.
Engage yourself.
Mm.
Engage yourself in skill acquisition. Engage yourself in things and talent that would help you. Mm. Because those talent that you have, that you think when you get into school, you're able to do, you know, you really have all the talent to do it. So just be able to engage yourself.
Thank you so much for spending your birthday with us. Thank you.
Thank you.